This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merle Bad, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, Pimp Your Sleep.
This part of the podcast is so awkward because we're just sitting here across from each other, but I don't want to say anything to you because it's like Merlin's going to join. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to be like, hey, are you feeling better? Because that might be funny, and then you want that on the show. So I'm just sitting here silently like you don't exist. It's weird. It's really awkward.
No, that's how every single podcast I do, and I don't look into people's eyes. It just doesn't happen. I think Merlin's here.
I can't even imagine it.
Oh, no, it's awful. Merlin, have I ever actually looked you in the eye ever in life? I doubt
Yeah.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, you were a little googly-eyed that time we got you in a car.
Oh.
That was a good night.
That was a good...
You've looked at me. We've had nice conversations. Why would you say something like that?
Oh, no. I'm just bad at looking people in the eye. Someone once described it as... did someone have a conversation with you about how you should look people in the eye?
Yeah, like, that's definitely a conversation I've had.
I mean, no reason. It's the same reason that I find, like, model train videos on YouTube just incredibly compelling. I mean, you know, no, not any particular reason. Could be anything.
But you wouldn't want to have to look the conductor in the eye the whole time.
No.
Is that HOS scale?
No, it's when you guys were both in the men's bathroom and you were using the urinal next to each other and you made eye contact and Merlin said, Alex, are you a McMillan man? Oh, man, yeah. I think I'm remembering that anecdote correctly.
Absolutely.
What is it? It feels you don't like looking people in the eye. What's the feeling that you feel when you're realizing you're not looking someone in the eye? I'm doing a thing with you that I try to do with my daughter, which is to not just go like, why don't you look people in the eye? Instead, I try to say things like, well, how did it feel in the dream when the lobster was eating you? Mm. Like, how did you feel about that? Instead of going, lobster, that's weird. Encourage the person to talk about it. How'd you feel when the lobster was eating you?
You know what? I'm not into lobsters, so they typically don't do that in my dreams. We're just friends.
Well, you don't get to choose what turns you on or what you dream about. That's the truth. Ever thus the pity. Do you feel is it too intimate?
It's just weird. It's just weird.
Looking at someone in the eyes.
Yep. It's just weird.
You want some pro tips?
Yep, sure.
I can give you a lot of pro tips for getting around in life as somebody who's a closet introvert. One is, and this is really good for people especially who have weird eyes, pick an eye.
Oh, yeah. I actually pick the bridge of the nose, and I think
that's a good place.
I get away with that often.
Yeah. I got other tips, you know. I got really good tips for walking. You should ask me about my walking tips. I have really good walking tips.
I find it very distracting to make eye contact with people. Like if I'm looking into someone's eyes, I can barely focus on what they're saying or what I need to say in the conversation.
Yes.
So like the more intense or serious the conversation, and the more it requires me to
too
think.
You're real.
I just can't do it. My eyes just start drifting back.
Okay. When you're realizing that you're feeling that discomfort and you don't want to look them in the eyes because it's taking you off your game about what you're thinking about saying next, what do you do? Do you look at something else? Do you pretend do you feign a stroke? Like, what do you do?
Well, I'll look behind them and my eyes dart around like there's a fly flying around behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I feel like I'm sort of in the middle ground. I mean, it seems a little bit silly to say that, oh, you know, you're a generation raised looking at a screen because I'm a generation raised looking at a screen. I don't mind eye contact, but I must tell you, I even have acquaintances who look too much in your eyes.
Yes.
And like it's in the expression. If somebody has too much, even like too intense of a neutral look while they're looking at you, it looks like they think you're a hot dog or a pork chop like in a Warner Brothers cartoon. Or they're smiling while they look too much in your eyes.
Doesn't it ever freak you out?
I think that's an alpha. Is that an alpha move? I bet that's an alpha move.
Doesn't it ever freak you out when you're looking at someone in the eyes and you're talking to them and you fixate on like what a whole person they are and that they have their own whole judgment of you and that this conversation is playing out completely differently in their head and they're going to remember it differently and like they're judging you.
Everything you've ever said is so stupid. Why am I talking?
Isn't it overwhelming?
It can be. It can be. You know, it really does vary a lot from person to person. I mean, maybe an overused term is warmth. I would like to think I'm a relatively warm person. Like, you know, I like meeting people. I like talking to people. I am extroverted.
But you're a person who's very precisely monitors their humidity.
Yeah.
So for a second, I thought when you were like, I'm a very warm person, I thought you actually meant your body temperature. And I'm like, how does this pertain? Like, you worry that you're standing close to...
Please clarify the terms for Alex Bot.
It's going to be a loopy Alex.
Right click, find synonym. We celebrate the risk takers, the idea makers, the ones who determine their own fate. We celebrate entrepreneurs. This is Shark Tank, and tonight the American dream continues.
Accessing human thesaurus. I mean thesaurus.
Can you believe that the dog lady got a deal? The dog costume lady?
I didn't see that one yet. Don't spoil it for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, my daughter insists that I've watched the two new Shark Tanks, and I don't remember seeing them. Who was the dog lady?
The panda costume.
I think I didn't see this.
You would remember it if you saw it.
Last one I remember is the two that included the watermelon shorts.
My shows, how do I talk about this? I have a system wherein shows that I want to watch appear on my hard drive as they come out.
You really don't know how to do this.
In a timely fashion. And then I watch them. And it's weird because it's brought me back from like years of, you know, I don't have cable or anything. And so I went for years without ever watching any contemporary television because I didn't have cable. So I just watched like old episodes of Seinfeld or whatever, like I was living in 1994. And now I feel like I'm like back on the train of contemporary TV. But the only two shows that are coming out right now that are like on TV and I'm getting new episodes of are The Bachelor and Shark Tank. And I feel like every night I go home and it's like just smashing my head with a hammer. Like I'm like lowering my IQ. It's that and then looking at watching the president's doctor lie about his height and weight.
239.
Oh, come on. This is the conspiracy I second least want to get into. I don't want to think about what he's like, quote unquote, down there. That is a thing I need to move aside
from
my mind.
Marlon is totally normal. He's got all the normal stuff that everyone has. You know, all the parts.
I bet it's
trust
like a little
me, Marlon,
pigtail.
They're big. Okay, all the normal stuff that people have. And guess what? It works just
tremendous.
It works just like, you know, in the way that it's supposed to work. That all people's work, but better.
Yeah, right. Well, and it's nice that he's not obese. He's right below obese.
Yeah,
so he definitely is not going to have that thing where he's just pure gunt and you're not even going to see his unit. It's going to be almost like he has an Audi.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's going to be that level of barely there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, people are posting the photos of the previous president and him standing next to each other with their wives. And Obama, who's a pretty solid 6'1", looks about the same size or a little bit taller. And no way, that guy is 260 if he's a pound. I'm just telling you. And he's getting broad. I mean, no, I'm not here to Trump shame. But come on, give me a... Have you seen how much bigger he's getting? He's bulbous.
The thing I saw was that someone was like, you know, if they had reported his weight at 1 pound heavier, he would officially be obese.
That's right.
So they basically worked backwards from, we need to issue a medical report that doesn't show the president is obese.
Yeah, they back solved from obese.
Yeah, once I saw that, that's the moment that I became a girther.
Here's the thing, though, is that people are saying, like the Pod Save America guys who are all standing up to say, hey, look, no, wait a minute. This guy's a really good doctor. He took good care of us in the White House. He's a straight shooter. With that said... some of that stuff sounds pretty... Okay, I'm going to send you a photograph. I sent this to you once before. I'm going to send it to you again. Okay, look at that photograph. Yeah.
It just looks like if you put a pin in him, he'd pop. Like, fluid would start gushing from him.
He looks like the fucking Danny DeVito penguin. Yeah. He's made of meat.
Yeah.
He's just solid ground beef from the tips of his toes all the way up to his ears.
It looks like somebody's pounded some veal for him, and he's carefully put it in layers in some kind of a man vest underneath.
It looks like if you dropped him out of a window, he would just splatter like a bag of milk.
Yeah, it would just be like, yeah, like anal leakage. It would just be like a kind of like a pizza grease stain all over the sidewalk.
I
wish him well. I wish him well. I'm glad he's going to get some exercise. That's going to be good.
He looks like Slimer from Ghostbusters.
But you could see from that shape, he maybe would have an Audi at best.
The president suffers from a condition known as Slimerism.
It's a largely unknown etiology that causes you to look like the hot dog stuffing boy.
It's a lot like multiple chemical sensitivity. Or like Morgellons or leaky gut.
Yeah, or like one hit theory. It's one of those things that's not very well described.
He's sensitive to electricity like Better Call Saul's brother.
Oh, like one of those like I don't want Wi-Fi in the house people?
Yeah.
I believe that I am personally acquainted with people. I know I'm personally acquainted with people who are very close to people who have that thing. There is someone in my family who has some serious issues. And that person does fret 24/7 about waves and beams. It's definitely a thing. Like she wants everything turned off and unplugged.
Merlin, do you have the anxiety?
Oh, I got a touch. Yeah,
Alex, you have the anxiety, right?
Only a bit.
Isn't it amazing? Have you guys ever had something where you're suffering from some extremely real to you malady? Like an example would be you're nauseous, your stomach hurts, you're dizzy, you have a headache, and you're just like, what? What is this? Is it? Did I eat some bad seafood? Am I getting the flu? Is it? You go on WebMD and you're like, is it cancer? And you're just working backwards from everything, and then you realize like, oh, I'm very anxious right now. Like this is purely an anxiety malady that I'm experiencing right now.
I mean, yes, so much so that I was completely in denial that I had the flu. I was just like, no, I'm just really anxious.
Oh.
It took Maddie taking me to the doctor to be like
no, you have the flu.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, that anxiety and depression
it's the worst.
And I think a lot of these things of like people's like, I'm sensitive to the Wi-Fi rays. It is, you know, the Better Call Saul is probably a pretty good portrayal of that. Like, it's real to him.
Well, and the way I've tried to describe it to people, and I should probably get this dealt with. But the thing that's difficult to describe to people that are normal, and we talked about this recently on a recent Roderick on the Line a little bit, but just to put a finer point on it, I think one difficulty is if you're an anxious person, somebody will say to you, well, what are you anxious about? And somebody being very helpful will say, like, well, you know, let me try and talk you down from that. Let's do a little bit of mini
like
CBT.
Asking what you're sad about.
No, thank you.
But, well, yeah, no.
Have
first
you tried
of all,
listening
yes,
to classical
absolutely
music?
Not. I mean, that's like it's a Candyman or something. I'm not going to say it. It'll show up. If I talk about it, it'll definitely happen. Mm-hmm. But the main problem with being an anxious person is the what you are anxious about.
He's right outside the window wrapping his long fingers against the glass. Like, don't say his name.
Oh no! Why?
Ugh. Don't turn around. Yeah. That's how I get in. I get in when you turn around. But I don't know how to describe it. I don't even have a good analogy for it, except to say that, like, the stuff that you are anxious about are really secondary. You will find something to be anxious about. It's the condition of anxiety is that almost anything will make you fretful and cause intrusive thoughts that you have trouble getting rid of. And if you're like me, I can take the smallest thing and run with it to use a great word. I can catastrophize almost anything in a way that I know is not rational. And then that makes you like be more procrastinating. It makes you be more anxious. And that's the thing. Anxiety has a habit of chaining, where you will make these, I will make these leaps from one incredibly innocuous thing that probably isn't there to like the worst possible thing that I can imagine. And then that's all I can think about for hours. But, you know, follow what I'm saying though. I mean, somebody helpful will say, like I might say to my wife, oh God, I'm feeling really anxious today. And she will very helpfully say like, what are you anxious about? I'm like, well, I'm anxious about like 90 things. But the main problem is that I'm anxious. It's the right. Anxiety it isn't like a fire. It does not require actual components of fuel. It's a thing that will start casting about for whatever can seem to be made real by my mind turning it from literally something that does not exist into something that is the end of my life.
Whenever they
my
have those,
undoing.
Whenever they have those huge California wildfires or like up Northwest wildfires, there's always some story of like, authorities just learned that the fire was started by two teenagers who like started a campfire, like lit a firework. You know, they always trace it down to ground zero of like someone left a match in a garbage can by accident or something like that.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, who fucking cares? Because the underlying issue is that you had this like desiccated old forest with no care given to it, just sitting there waiting to go up like a tinderbox and like burn down an entire city. But so it doesn't matter. It's like if it wasn't those kids with a firework, it would have been some other kids with a firework. Like it's like
right. It was all just waiting to happen. Well, you know, I feel like I remember my first compulsive anxiety that I can remember started in college, and it's pretty novel. My first compulsive anxiety that I can remember was a morbid fear of accidentally closing a cat in a door. I didn't have a cat at the time, but I had a constant fear that if I let a door close on its own, a cat would try to run in and it would be crushed. Right. And I still have things like this to this day.
I've never deeply thought about that, but it could happen.
Right. The thing is, you don't need a cat to have that, because a cat could appear. Maybe
cats
you don't
are
know
very
a
bad
cat
at
there.
that moment
they're
of judgment
so stupid.
Where they're like, I think I could make that.
And right. Like, what are you, Harrison Ford? No, you're a fucking cat. Get out of the door.
Speak for your own cats, guys.
Our cat's pretty clumsy, but sometimes I'm about to close the door and she's like, she's flying. She tries to go flying through it like the Death Star, and she's like, I think I can make that. And she cannot make it. She flies into the walls like the TIE fighters.
The other one, the one that I have to tell my daughter every morning, we have an old house, and the various doors in our house, like if you have a door that's ajar, it will seek out some sort of a position very slowly. We have some doors that want to open on their own, and we have our front door wants to close on its own. And every morning, as I'm seeing my daughter off in the morning, I say, remember, honey, the door wants to kill you. You must always be cognizant, because what's going to happen is you're going to turn and think there's space, but there's going to be door, and it's going to be edge of door.
She's going to grow up
and
marry
a door.
Because
of the nature of your binocular vision, you're not going to see it, and you're going to break your nose, and then we're going to die and be in debt for health for the rest of your life.
She's going to grow up and marry a door, and you're going to have no one to blame but yourself.
I love doors.
I don't know. They just frighten and arouse me.
This is what happens. She's going to get a fucking neck tattoo and marry a door.
The door is going to die, and she's going to eat its ashes very slowly. She'll be on some TV show.
Meet Dory. She comes home from college with a small pickup truck with a door in it.
Dad, there's someone I'd like you to meet.
You're always trying to change me. I was born like this. Oh, God. Then it's going to be an Atlantic piece about it. Oh, my God. There were doors all over the house, and he acted like it was normal. But then when I brought one home that I finally loved and accepted me, he said, the door wants to kill you.
Oh, you're saying there's going to be some sort of door cat person?
Well, she'll like be like, she'll acquire doors. Mm-hmm. She'll be a door hoarder. We have fun, don't we?
Doug a dig. May I present my unsolicited list of celebrities that I would be afraid to meet?
Doug a follow up. I would love to hear this.
Thank you.
Do you want to hear? Can you without tooting my own outie? Could you give a little context on how this occurred to you?
Well, I believe I was listening to another program you do called Reconcilable Differences with a frenemy of the show, John Syracuse.
Frenemy of the show.
I don't know.
That's perfect. You're enjoying me wrong. Stop liking me.
All right. I've compiled a list.
So what we talked about was John has this fantasy that I get to meet all the celebrities and I don't deserve it. And there's people that he likes more than I do. People he's like weirdly obsessed with that I get to meet. And it's not like a huge deal. I meet them and they're nice and whatever. And now he gets all mad about it. And the truth is he's scared to meet anybody because he doesn't know what he would say to Bono.
Well, and that's the thing. I realized that this list would have been a lot longer had I not met you, which is very strange, because,
come
you know, it would be...
Really?
Well, yeah, it would be, like, Merlin Mann, Jason Snell. Jason Snell's face was on the back of, like, the back of Backworld forever and ever, and that's the magazine, the only, like, magazine I read growing up. But now I have a list of, like, okay, here, if I had to meet these people... And, like,
I was a little nervous to meet Jason Snell.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're right, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was...
But this is the kind of thing where, like, if somebody... Like, you are at a hotel... This happened to me with Yellow Tango, where I was at South by Southwest, and the elevator doors opened, and... Well, no, technically, we were waiting for an elevator next to each other, which was very awkward. But one of my all-time favorite bands was suddenly there next to me. So, like, imagine it's a hotel lobby where there's an event going on, like a mm-hmm, Comic-Con mm-hmm. type thing. You turn a corner, and who is there that makes you shit yourself?
Oh, wait, are you...
Oh, I'm just trying to give you a context for, like, you walk around a corner, and there's a person there that makes you go, holy shit, and you might have to talk to them. Who is that person? Who freaks you out?
Merlin, what's the best, what's your favorite Yellow Tango album?
Oh, I Can Hear the Heart Beating is one.
Correct. Where's the bell? Or, Alex, do the bell.
I don't have Where's the bell. I shouldn't
Thank
be touching
you. Also,
anything.
My introduction was the album Fake Book, which is not a good introduction to Yellow Tango as a thing, but that's the first album I heard. I love it dearly. But Heart Beating is One is, and I first heard it driving down One, the beautiful California highway that you can, when you think of California, you're thinking of One, that beautiful highway overlooking the Pacific. And I first heard that album. And so I imprinted on it really hard. But he was really, Ira was nice. Because, of course, I was like, hey, you're from that band I like.
That's a good, that song, that bass line. That's a good driving montage song.
It really is.
What were we talking about?
So Alex, so you're at Comic-Con, and what? Allison Bechdel comes around the corner. Who's going to freak you out? Who is it? Give me some names.
Oh, okay. So
Allison Bechdel. Allison Bechdel?
Yeah. actually, yes. but
Masha Gessen.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, you should check her out. She's right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, okay. All right. We got Oprah, Ellen, Tim Cook, John Darnielle.
You're so weird.
Okay. What conversation could you have with Oprah? All right. You know what? I'm going to extend my unsolicited list. I would say, Oprah, hey, thank you. You're the one who got me and my mom into the Kindle. Ellen, hey, cool. I came, my mom guessed that I was gay when we were watching your morning show. Hey, haha, that's funny. Tim Cook. Oh, yeah, thanks for being gay again. Yes, John Darnielle. Hey, I really like your new podcast. Thanks for doing that. It means a lot. Carrie Fisher, don't need to worry about that anymore.
Too soon.
Carrie Fisher, hey, it's really cool that you came back as a ghost. Want to talk about the medications we're on? How'd you do that without an umbrella?
A spoonful of force power makes the medicine.
Ryan Johnson, hey, Adam Leisinger stuff is cool, right? Shonda Rhimes, I don't even fucking know. I'd be like, Shonda Rhimes, thank you for actually demanding money from the menu. Like, I don't know. Fucking Shonda Rhimes. Oscar Isaac, hey, you're one of the few men where I bet your penis isn't ugly. I know. Any Obama, I don't know. Shonda Rhimes and any Obama, I would run away. Thank you for listening to my unsolicited list. The end.
Let's see. I bet I could come up with some more for you.
Musicians are a tough... Merlin, you're screwed here because musicians are a tough group of people to idolize because they're really disappointing personally most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
Not as much as comedians, but yeah.
Ooh, well, comedians... Ugh. I've hung out with some comedians that I really, really like. And
well, exception that proves the rule, you know? I mean...
And they, no. I mean, that I like them as stand-up comp, like, you know, like I don't know, whatever. Like, because we do shows and festivals and stuff.
I've met tons that are really nice. I'm just saying that as a people.
But I'm saying I've met lots of comedians that I like as performers, right? And then I meet them in real life. And they're like, not in a quirky, funny way, but in a really sad, desperate way. They're like very upsetting people.
It's. I mean, one of them is that this kind of basic test of if you were seated next to this person on a plane, how would it go? And that could just be as simple as like they're just a normal person and they're not a weirdo. But I would not want to be seated next to most comedians on a plane. A lot of them are very unpleasant, like serially unhappy, unfunny people.
Yeah.
Musicians, writers. I don't know. The other thing is that, like, honestly, in this day and age, there are people are so much more attuned to the idea of like people might recognize them because of social media or YouTube or whatever, that I think people are more prepared for the idea that they might be, you know, recognized by somebody and calibrate for that, I imagine. Don't you think?
I get very nervous to me. There's different people who I have spent time in my life imagining dialogues with. So like writers that I've read a lot of, or like a lot of philosophers or podcasters that I listen to, and I sort of imagine what it would be like to talk to them, and then I get really tripped up if I actually ever get to meet them. Because you're working against your own expectations of what the conversation would be like. And, like, you know, the thing is, like, sometimes you imagine that you'd meet someone and you'd start talking about some, like, I don't know, some, like, technical thing, or, like, you know, I don't know, having some sort of zippy dialogue like it's from one of their novels. And, like, that's not how life is.
Right.
You wind up talking about the weather, or, you know, if you're at a convention, you talk about if you're tired and what food you ate. Like, it's weird. It's not how you imagine.
Yeah, it's also an example of that, like, sort of disproportionate familiarity with somebody. Like,
that's brutal.
Where one person is more familiar, you know, with the other, and if you feel awkward about it, you start having, you know, mouth diarrhea, you start saying all this stuff, you know, and you feel like, you know, kind of a jerk.
I don't think I've ever shared this story, but it just popped into my head, you know. Well, maybe I'm catastrophizing this, but when I met Tiffany and Marco Arment for the first time, it was a fucking disaster. We were on the same plane going, I forget where it was, but we were on the same plane, and they had a layover in Chicago.
Tiff is so nice. She cannot be any nicer.
I know. It wasn't them. Wasn't them. And I remember saying, oh, God, it was so, I believe... I said, hi, I really like your husband's work. What the fuck is wrong with me? And then I'm like, and I like your Instagram. I like your pets. God. Tiff, I'm sorry. I know. I bet you remember this perfectly, because then I remember we met later. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're the one who talked to us on the plane.
You had a whole conversation with Tiff Armour, and you guys didn't pass the Bechdel test.
Oh, and Alison Bechdel's over in the next seat just looking at you, shaking her head.
Just nodding slowly.
It's not that hard, girls. No. It's not that hard.
Follow-up, CBS. A government watchdog is expressing concern over the dangerous misuse of laundry detergent. In this latest social media fad, teenagers are putting detergent pods in their mouths in what's being called the, quote, Tide Pod Challenge. Ingredients in the pod include ethanol, hydrogen peroxide, and polymers, a highly toxic mix of detergent meant to wipe out dirt and grime. That line sounds like it was written by the Tide Pod
Company.
Yeah, it
kind of does. Sounds like they slid that in there, yeah.
Yeah. Manufacturers have been concerned about toddlers mistakenly ingesting them, but now teens are popping them on purpose and posting videos of the results online, reports CBS News. 19-year-old Mark Pagan, who did it on a dare, told CBS News he knew better, but he did it anyway. Quote, a lot of people were just saying how stupid I was, or how, why would I be willing to do that, he said. No one should be putting anything like that in their mouths, you know?
Do they swallow it, or do they just put it in their mouths?
Well, the pods are bright and colorful, and to children, they look like candy. Oh, thank you. At least 10 deaths have been linked to ingesting Tide Pods. 2 were toddlers, and 8 were seniors with dementia.
Why?
Well... they do look delicious, number one. They do look very appetizing. Now, I don't do the laundry pods, but we do the dishwasher pods. Mm-hmm. And every time I put one in the dishwasher, I'm like, one of these days, I'm going to eat one of these.
Well, I think what we're overlooking a little bit with these things is, yes, they absolutely look like some kind of delicious Japanese candy, but they also feel really good. Oh. You go, that would be nice in my mouth.
Can you imagine if it was a candy, how pleasant it would be, like a gusher when it like burst in your mouth and all the syrup came out. Now, have you guys ever gone into a Lush, the soap store Lush?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't you have a fantasy of eating everything in the Lush, like Homer in the Land of Chocolate? You run from station to station and taste all the soaps.
Yes, I want to lick all the bath bombs.
Mm.
They look so appetizing.
Because you know, it'd also be a little bit like a pop rock. You know, it would sizzle a little bit in your mouth.
Ah, they're all on like butcher blocks, and they sell it in like wrap
it looks
it in
like
paper.
Whole Foods.
It looks like a fudge store.
how can they do that?
No one
are
should
these,
do
are
this.
Are these those chokey candies, Alex?
No, those are. If you search for in their super secret chat, I've sent you some pictures of bouncy balls. And if you search for forbidden snack on Twitter, they show you actual things that I would personally want to eat.
Yeah, it wasn't the same thing, Alex. And this is an emotional week for you, but just at least putting a Tide pool in your mouth, amiibo style, seems right in your fucking wheelhouse.
Oh no, and that's the thing. But that's the problem. Is like it's soap, guys. It's soap. This is not anything exotic or cool. Like you want to have the bouncy ball. You want to have like the rubber bands. There's way more interesting things that someone would want to swallow.
Rubber bands.
Tell me more. I just feel like they would have an interesting consistency if you put a whole bunch of them in your mouth.
It's not a thing you've ever tried. This is just idle speculation.
Definitely
on your
not.
Part.
And this is
have you ever eaten anything with your hands right after you've handled a bunch of rubber bands?
Oh no!
Sort
that's
of the
like
worst
money.
Taste.
Yeah,
it's
no.
It's a very bad taste.
However, if you just buy a fresh pack of rubber bands, with different widths, like the really skinny ones and then the slightly larger widths, I imagine that it would be an interesting mouthfeel, as you
no,
call
they
it.
Taste terrible. That's what I'm saying. Even fresh rubber bands, they have some sort of powder on them, or it's the rubber itself, and they taste awful. They're so they have this bitter, like acrid taste. It's really upsetting.
Well, I mean that's your opinion, but one might say that
maybe it's like a Switch cartridge.
That's so irresponsible. You sent me a photo of L'Oreal Kids Cheeky Cherry Shampoo, and it looks like a little character smiling with an eyeball. Mm-hmm, who doesn't want to put that in their mouth?
Exactly.
Merlin, do you have a Nintendo Switch, don't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Have you guys purchased any cartridges for the Nintendo Switch?
Just the little games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have some of the physical games?
Yeah.
Okay, when you get home, I want you to take the game cartridge from the Switch. Uh-huh. You're going to put it in your mouth very briefly.
Is this true? Are they bitter?
Oh, yeah.
They taste off. That was the first thing I did when I bought a Switch was I opened a cartridge. Before I even opened the system, I popped open a cartridge and put it on my tongue because I had heard about it not from reviewers online.
So what I was talking about, Konjac, jelly candy, digga, breaking, 2001, Houston Chronicle. Jelly fruit candy is linked to choking deaths in kids. They come packaged in small containers, perfectly sized for kids. Squishy, sweet candy in mouth-watering flavors such as mango and grape, peach and coconut. They're messy, gushing juice when the foil cover is peeled away. Another bonus for children who like to make a statement when they eat. Moms see them as a fat-free snack that comes with a piece of preserved fruit in the center. They're yummy, said this young girl, age 10, after squeezing one of the candies. But then they make you choke. They had to ban these. They had to ban these because it looks like a Tide pool. It looks like a Tide pod. And you put it in your mouth, and then you choke on the binding agent. You shouldn't choke on a binding agent.
No.
Trigger warning.
Max is opening... I have
birthday treats.
Yeah, it was Max's birthday yesterday, I think.
Yay.
But your party's tomorrow, so I don't herb the OPSEC, never mind. There are treats happening.
Oh,
are they from listeners? Did you just go all? Have you changed your opinion on cards?
No, it's just nice that this person sent me a
present. Oh, okay. Merlin, how long until you could throw away a birthday card?
It depends on who you're dating, I guess.
This is very true.
If it's a card that's meaningful to you, oh, I got a life hack for this. But generally, just fucking throw them away as soon as you get them, unless you have a system.
This person sent me a variety of executive desk toys.
Oh, nice. Did you get the little balls, clacky balls?
No, this is some sort of heavy metal gear. And you put it on your desk, and it's on like a fidget spinner, like a bearing, and you spin it, and it has little joke answers, like a magic eight ball.
Oh, that sounds nice.
So someone comes to my desk, and they're like, "Can I have a raise?" And then I spin this, and it's like, tomorrow.
And the trap door opens.
Yeah.
What are these officially called? I just call them project folders, but these cool, I've been way into these things for years. You can get these things. They're kind of like a cross between a file folder and an accordion folder. And the idea is, so just Google project folder, and you'll see that there's like a little accordion folder, and it's got stuff on the front where you can write about like what's in it, what the status of the project is. I love these things. I use them for tons of stuff at work and at home. It's a great way to just collect a little pile of things. And so here's a life hack. If there are things that you want to save from a time, an occasion, an event, a holiday, get one of these per that thing. So if you had 5 birthday cards that you really liked, you put them into one of these folders and you write what the stuff is in there and write the date. The other nice thing is like when you got a little kid at Christmas, there's lots of little like things involving paper around the Christmas holiday. You've got the letter to Santa. You've got Santa's letter back to you about his opioid epidemic. You've got lots of signs that get made. My daughter likes to go into Pages and with emoji write up whatever the menu is for a meal that we're having and then put it on all of our plates. And so for those kinds of things, make
so
a folder.
That's so smart and good.
It's so good. And so what you do is all of those, if it is things you really want to keep and aren't ready to Marie Kondo them, put them in a folder like that and then have an area where you keep all those together. And you can go back and revisit them and go, oh, here's all the nice things from 2012.
I mean, I read that book you recommended, It's All Too Much, which is basically the Marie Kondo condominium book, except
not,
sane.
But not crazy.
Yeah.
isn't it striking, though, Alex? Isn't it striking how very similar it is to what became Marie Kondo? It's like Marie Kondo without unnecessary OCD.
Crying and Cleaning, the book.
I cannot go to recess. I must tidy the room and weep.
Oh man.
Someone move the chalks. I must move back the chalks. Thank you for your service, Tiny Chalk.
All right, I have another news story, and I couldn't be more excited to have found this news story because we get to make fun of it on Due by Friday before Chapo Trap House does.
Yay!
They fucking get me every time. You guys have no idea the havoc that they've wreaked on this podcast that I find the same.
I wanted the water one so bad.
I know. I had it all excerpted out and ready to go for us, and then they did it, and it was like, fuck. All right, but this one they didn't get to yet. So this is a New York Times style piece about the crypto community. Did either of you guys stumble upon this article?
I heard about it.
It was quite good.
I heard it was really pretty bananas.
It was quite good. So I've excerpted it, so I just have the good parts here. This is from the New York Times earlier this week. New York Times. The cryptocurrency community is centered around a tight-knit group of friends, developers, libertarians, Redditors, and cypherpunks who have known each other for years through meetups, an endless circuit of crypto conferences, and internet message boards. Over long hours in anonymous group chats, San Francisco bars, and Settlers of Catan game nights, they talk about how cryptocurrency will decentralize power and wealth, changing the world order. I know that they dropped Settlers of Catan in there, so they sound really like nerdy and quirky, but that's a very normie.
It's such a basic-ass game.
I know, it's such a normie game. Like,
as the kids played Monopoly.
They should probably be playing like Netrunner or something. whether it's all built on sand or not, the crypto castle has risen. There's an actual house called the Crypto Castle, and the king is Jeremy Gardner, 25, a rakish young investor with a hedge fund who has become the de facto tour guide for crypto newcomers. Early one afternoon, he opened a bottle of rosé while he charged half a dozen external batteries so he wouldn't ever have to plug his phone in Ibiza, Spain, the next week. Quote, "I do ICOs. It's my thing," he said. An ICO is an initial coin offering.
Initial coin offering, right.
He wore a pink button front and pink pants. Quote, "To me, it's a couple of VCs and a lot of charlatans." Oh, you don't say.
Oh, yeah.
About 8 people live in the crypto castle on any given night, and some of Mr. Gardner's tenants brought out snacks, Cheez-Its, and a jar of Nutella. One of the bedrooms has a stripper pole. Mr. Gardner leaned back into the sofa and rested his feet on the table. He recently did an ICO for a startup after party. "You can ICO anything," he said. He runs Distributed, a 180-page magazine about cryptocurrency that comes out about once a year. He is now raising $75 million for his hedge fund, Awesome Ventures. He said his closest friends are moving to Puerto Rico to get around paying taxes. Quote, "They're going to build a modern-day Atlantis out there," he said. "But for me, it's too early in my career to check out." He wears a bracelet from his Burning Man camp, Mayan Warrior, and a necklace that is a key on a chain. "I was given this necklace and told that my net worth would go up, and it's gone up 6x since then," he said.
That story checks out.
Yeah. Dad, by your logic, I could say that this rock keeps bears away. I'll take it. How much for the rock?
The taste factor. Jesus.
He drew a chart to explain the crypto community. 20% for ideology, 60% for the tech, and 100% for the money. That's 180%. Drawing a circle around it all. A roommate on the sofa perked up and asked if he'd ever invest in his Lucid Dreams startup. The idea is a headpiece that induces them. Mr. Gardner did not seem impressed. Probably not, he said. A reality show wants to follow him around, but he's skeptical that it can add to his life. Quote, I literally have a date with Bella Hadid, not having a reality show, he said. Who's Bella Hadid?
I don't know.
That sounds like a model? Mm.
As the holiday party, and then skip to, they have the cryptocurrency holiday party. As the holiday party filled up, a cryptocurrency rapper called Coin Daddy, Arya Bamanyar, 28, was just getting ready to perform. Formerly a commercial real estate agent, Mr. Bamanyar works full-time at Coin Daddy after becoming a self-described crypto millionaire. Quote, you think I would dress up like this if I wasn't? Right now, all our entertainers come from inside crypto, Quote, right now, all of our entertainers come from outside crypto culture, not inside crypto. And we've got to change that, he said. He pointed to his outfit, a long, white, fake mink coat, gold-heeled shoes, and said, it's gold, right? It's gold. It's a niche, and I'm going to fill it. He says he is going to shoot a music video soon for a song called, quote, Lambo Party, and another called Crypto Mom, about, quote, all these moms who are pumping their children's savings accounts into crypto.
Digga, dentacoin.com. Dentacoin is the first blockchain concept designed for the global dental industry. The Dentacoin ERC-20 token is configured to be used globally by all individuals. Dentacoin aims at improving dental care worldwide and making it affordable through crowd power. Numerous blockchain-based tools will be developed and implemented. Dentacoin, the cryptocurrency, cutting to the Twitter via Matt O'Brien. Dentacoin, the cryptocurrency to pay dentists with, is down from a high of $2.3 billion. A few weeks ago, to $469 million today. They're having a tough having a tough time. Dentacoin. It's Bitcoin for dentists.
I can't believe that there was a special currency just to pay dentists with, like nightmare coins.
But blockchain.
Yeah, and B, that it was worth $1 billion. Wow. What a world.
I mean, I still can't believe the Kodak one exists.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I mean, just because there are two separate Kodak products that came out of CES, our beloved camera company, a miner that was, I guess someone just licensed the Kodak brand and slapped it on it, and then their own cryptocurrency, which has it launched yet? Do you launch a cryptocurrency? I'm still...
It's an ICO, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a launch.
Yep. I don't know.
Oh,
if it's
wow.
Happened
Bella
yet.
Bella Hadid. Look at her.
Yep. That's something that's in my
She parts her hair
now.
In the middle a lot.
Mm hmm.
Are these all things you've put in your mouth?
Yes.
You sent me some things in the suit. First of all, I appreciate that Amazon link I sent you that's animated. What is up with that?
Who is Bella Hadid? Oh, she's a model.
Mm-hmm. Bella Hadid. So you've put Laura. So can I have Wadir you on this, Alexandra?
Sure.
Okay, question. And you're not allowed to text the White House while I'm asking you. L'Oreal Kids Cheeky Cherry Shampoo. Has it ever been in your mouth?
I couldn't. It was the fruit punch version. I could not find a photo of it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Whoosh Shower Jelly.
Yes.
Okay. That's got lemon, lime, rosemary infused jelly. Oh, that's food grade. That's not a problem.
You can eat anything from Lush.
Everything's food if you're hungry enough. Kleenex Cool Touch Facial Tissues.
Found this. I actually have some by me right now. I found this out because my cat kept licking them, and I'm like, well, there must be something about this, right?
Yeah. Right. It's not like the cat's an idiot. Silly Putty Color Changing Silly Putty.
Okay, so this was my favorite thing to chew on as a child because... It changed based on temperature. So if it got hot, it would become the purple would become pig. But really the only way to do that was to put it in the freezer and then put it in your mouth.
That's so funny you should say that. We went to the science museum, my daughter and I, recently, and I picked her up some of that. You know, it's kind of popular. You get in a tin, it's that putty, and you can get it in different styles. You can get like copper. You can get hypercolor.
Yes.
She keeps putting the hypercolor in her mouth to change the colors, and it's driving her mother insane. She likes to make her teeth appear in putty, and it's making her mother lose her mind. Look, it's pink. Honey, don't do that in front of mom. Wait till mom leaves to put the putty in your mouth.
The issue is don't do it in front of mom.
There's so many things we don't do in front of mom. We don't talk about watching scenes from Kill Bill. Just the fighting. Just the fighting.
Wait, what does that mean, just the fighting?
I think she needs to be exposed to kung fu. I think it's important for a child to be exposed to kung fu.
I mean, she's not upset
about
the
episode.
Why don't you watch Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah.
She's seen, his name is Poe, I've been told. His name is not Kung Fu.
Mm. Please, Mr. Kung Fu was my father's name.
Kung Fu is the monster. So of these things, so it sounds like Silly Putty Changeable Color of Silly Putty is your longtime fave. Do you still turn to that sometime in moments of need? You're feeling anxiety, someone's trying to look in your eyes like
an
animal?
Alex, remember we bought that thinking putty?
Oh, yeah. I used it for a really long time until it got so, there was... The hair.
These things do acquire a lot of hair.
About three months later, I'm like, I better replace this.
Yeah, at some point it becomes like a tumbleweed of like pubes and dust.
Put me in your mouth.
Yeah.
I have mouthfeel. A tumbleweed of pubes is something I didn't need.
No.
Oh, no.
We should talk about the challenge, probably.
Man, I killed this challenge.
Ugh. I'm so happy to hear this.
Yes. It was my challenge this week, and it was fairly general, and the challenge was to just pimp your sleep. And I interpreted that as, I think I talked about this before, but I got a Fitbit, and I'm Ted Cruising it now, so I've got my Apple Watch and my Fitbit. And it's just it's way better at tracking sleep. And it's also better at like tracking standing.
Can I see what the Fitbit looks like?
Yeah. It's
did you get the HR
boring.
Charge?
I got the Ulta HR, so like the skinny one.
Is that the skinny?
Okay.
You wear that to bed. I don't want to touch it. You're sick. No, I don't want to touch it. You're sick.
Yeah. It was fun to watch Max recoil. Look at the lights.
Cold and flu season, you guys. It's bad.
Well, I felt really like, oh my God, I can't believe I fucking didn't get my flu shot. And the doctor's like, oh no, it wouldn't have helped.
Don't
like,
say
oh,
that.
Good.
So I think it's very scary. I think the flu shot was wrong this year. I think they like, you know, they basically guess.
Yeah.
What they think what they think they should put in the flu shot.
It's not perfect, but it helps.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was not a. Everyone get your flu shot. Man, I love it's always taking your heart rate. It's always got the Fitbit always has those like beady little green eyes. But yeah, so I was tracking my sleep, and I guess because I had the flu, I have an abnormally large sleep time of 9 hours and 12 minute average for this week.
Wow.
Yeah, there's lots of little stars. It's gonna be really as opposed to last week where it was 6 hours and 30 minutes. But I also
do you still have the flu right now?
No, I'm told I'm not contagious. I'm told that I'm not.
Am I gonna get the flu? I don't want
the flu.
No, you're not gonna get the flu.
You need to get the Tamiflu.
Oh, fun. Well, if you can't, I wonder, Max.
Oh, wait,
like
does
a
it
Birkin
does not
bag.
Work with your other things?
No. Within a 10-mile radius, all the pharmacies from our location are out of Tamiflu. So I wonder if, like a Birkin bag, Max could somehow acquire this. Like,
do you think
you
have connections for
it.
That, Max? Could you get Tamiflu if you decided to
I would
take
just
it?
Drive to a clinic or something outside of a 10-mile radius.
It's prescriptive. Justin is on it right now because his wife is a doctor and I think she's sick right now. Do I get the sense it's prescription only? Is that correct?
Yeah. God, I should have married a doctor. Mm. That would,
I can't
that
have this. I won't
fun.
Get sick. I can't get sick.
I've been washing my hands so much that I'm starting to look like the guy from Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. Becoming a lizard thing. Person?
Yeah, I'm becoming a lizard man.
It's, oh, God.
You should moisturize. But see, but even then, so last night, I was telling people I had to do a performance thing last night, and I was like, and it was a bit through the entire show, was I won't get sick. I can't get sick. I will touch you with my elbow, maybe. I signed for an Instacart and then went and washed my hands because I touched somebody's phone.
No.
Who knows where that thing's been?
You go out in public, you touch anything, you go to the coffee shop, you have hot hands. Those hands cannot touch your face. No.
But
face
even then,
touching.
somebody says, "Oh, here I've got some sanitizer, some hand sanitizer."
That doesn't
I'm
do
like,
anything.
Nice try.
No, that does nothing.
I mean, like, think about that. Think about this is. Oh God, why do I don't want to go down this path? Like, think about the faucet at the movie theater when you wash your hands. Think about the faucet anywhere. What has touched that faucet over and over and over? Dirty fucking hands. You're going to clean your hands by touching the dirty thing. So I'm going to get your hand sanitizer. You a stranger. You're going to squeeze your sanitizer right into my hand? I don't think so. I don't know where that nozzle's been.
I guarantee you, like in Pawnee, whenever there's those public hand sanitizer things, there's people who put their mouth right on the nozzle. So last week, Veronica got very sick.
You
got
to put a cage over it.
Yeah. Last week, Veronica got very sick, and I didn't. I was extremely sanitary. I did not get sick. I was so careful. And I DM'd our friend of the show, Dr. Don. And I said, "Dr. Don, what do I do? How do I not get sick here?" And he gave me very good advice. So basically, we washed everything on like the high temperature setting in the washing machine. And I did sanitize on all the dishes. And I cleaned all of the like furniture and stuff with a diluted bleach mixture.
Did you bite into it first and then like...
Yeah, you got to get a little taste. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a little
just
taste.
Just to check.
Yeah.
Digga, 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 digga. Dateline CBS News, 2007. British hospitals are banning neckties, long sleeves, and jewelry in an effort to stop the spread of deadly hospital-borne infections, according to new rules published Monday. Hospital dress codes typically urge doctors to look professional, which for male practitioners has usually meant wearing a tie. So you think about this. You think about a doctor who goes through the hospital and his tie is just going to become a disease sink. It's going to become like a sick sponge. And you walk around and that's touching people and you're touching your hands and your stethoscope. Come on. Sleeves? Forget about it. I think all doctors should perform nude.
I don't understand doctors. Who wear like normal clothing to examine people? It's like what the
you should dress
fuck
like
are
a
you
Bitcoin
doing?
Miner. Yeah. Hey guys, I'm gonna hypnotize you with my hat. Why in my head do Bitcoin people seem like pickup artists? Do you think there's any shared DNA there? I don't want to get sick. I can't get sick. I won't get sick.
Did you pimp your sleep?
Oh yeah. Oh hold on. I've got to say the weighted blanket is a fucking game changer.
It's very good. I got mine and I really like it.
I don't know. I think it's because my bed is a multi, and I know this is like bad. You're not supposed to work in bed. You're not supposed to read in bed, but I do because it's comfy there. But it's like when I use the weighted blanket, it something snaps in my brain where I'm like, okay, sleep time. And and this happened like before I got sick. The very first night I had it, I was like, oh, this is nice. And I think it was the fastest I've ever fallen asleep. So,
no kidding.
Yeah. So I think I successfully pimped my sleep. How about you, Merlin?
Well, can I pivot to asking Max? Because I do want to respond to this, but I'm curious about Max. Because Max, it sounded like you were a little bit not sure. You were a little on the fence because you thought it might not be warm enough. Did you end up acquiring and using a weighted blanket?
Yeah, I just got the one on Amazon. And I don't know what I'm going to do when I get the Kickstarter one, the gravity blanket. Maybe I'll just give it to someone
at the
office.
Bring it to the office where it can get full of diseases.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll just give it away. But yeah, it's great. I like it. I feel like I sleep better with it. I don't know. What more can I say? I use it with our normal comforter.
I'll hop in. Sleep is a big issue for me. It's something I've talked about a lot in a lot of places because sleep, I mean, without going into too much repetition that everybody knows but ignores. Most people don't get as much sleep as they need. Sleep is important for taking out the garbage in your brain. Sleep is important for physical, mental, and emotional renewal. And treating sleep as something that you can medicate your way into can be tough because there are various kinds of things that might help you fall asleep but then screw up your REM sleep so you're not getting the full repair. It's something I've made a practice of for a long time is trying to get better at sleep, and I've got a multi-pronged approach to that. So for a while I've been doing this, and I do treat my bed. Well, the thing is, I do lay on my bed and look at my iPad during the day, but at night I only get in bed when it's time for bed. So we've got a Casper brand mattress that we actually do like a lot. I've got a weighted blanket. I've got one of those Hullo
I love the bean pillow. I've got one of those.
The bean
too.
Pillow is nice. Mine is good and full. I got an extra pillow so I could stick extra bean in, and it's nice and solid. And I like that way better than those dumb regular pillows. But yeah, the weighted blanket, I think, is a really interesting option. So, I mean, I want to put people at ease that, like, you do not have to feel like a weirdo for using this, even though you will probably feel like a weirdo for using this. I don't know if it's been clinically proven. I don't know if you guys got the Chinese blanket. I did. But the materials that came with it seem to say that it's good for everything. Yeah. Which I'm always a little suspicious
it's
about.
It's like CBD oil. Can't take too much of it.
There is no unsafe dose.
I just think that's really interesting that you were quote-unquote tripping because science has shown that there's no way.
It's good for your multiple chemical sensitivities, your leaky gut syndrome, your Morgellons, your electricity sensitivity.
It hasn't been shown to cause Morgellons. There's literally no Morgellon dose.
Boy, our cat really likes this blanket, too. It's a good texture for her.
Yeah, what is that? Well, and I find that obnoxious, though, because when you add 17 pounds to the 20 pounds that's already on top of you, it's like, not so much, buddy.
Your cat weighs 17 pounds?
Yeah, he's officially fat.
No, but, come on. Yeah.
No, he's 1 pound below being obese.
Yeah, our cat weighs 6 pounds.
Well, the vet, he's part Bengal. The cat, not the wild cat.
You say part Bengal? Like the big, Big Tiger Boys?
No. It's Bengal is a breed of cat.
Yeah. It's like a Savannah. It's like one of those big semi-wild cats, right?
Yeah, not semi. No. Savannahs are terrifying. They're like actual cheetahs. But he's.
Oh, I have a Savannah cat story.
Oh, oof. Wait, really? Really? Okay, no. All right. Dig Dug.
Remind me, because I want to circle back to this. But cats, weighted blankets, fat cat. So the weighted blanket, you get this blanket, and it's okay. I realize this seems kind of weird and outsider. I'm just here to tell you, it has helped me so much. It is like, as I said to you guys in texting, it's like sleeping inside of a hug. It looks like a fairly normal blanket, fairly normal thin blanket, but I guess sewn into it are some kind at regular intervals are some kind of heavy bead. So that they're well distributed, it's even. It isn't going to be like, you know, like a heavy comforter where it all gets balled up at one end. It's evenly distributed. It is a little bit of an adjustment to get used to, but I don't know if it's just I've psyched myself into it, but I feel like it really does help me sleep. It tells me it's sleep time and tells me to calm down and lay here, and it's very comforting.
Yeah, I mean, this might have to do with my enjoyment of putting strange things in my mouth. But guys, please don't tweet at me saying I have pica. I don't fucking have pica. Anyway, it's kind of, I think, like lavender or something like white noise. I immediately was like, okay, yeah, this is sleepy time. I don't know. Like, who cares if it has medical benefits? What is Max opening now? Oh, that looks interesting. Is that another birthday treat?
People have sent me so many weird items.
Who are the people, Max? Without saying names, are these people you know, strangers?
Oh, yeah, they're like acquaintances.
That's nice.
They're like not my close friends. They're like people that we do business with or whatever.
They'll be glad to hear
send me
that.
Like executive gifts for my birthday, like vendors and things like that.
If you want to send Max anything for his birthday, you can send it to Dubai Friday, 1917 North Elston Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60642.
I have concerns. If you listen carefully to the podcast, you can find out the address where your office is.
This spinny toy is very cool.
Oh,
this is my favorite. See what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's like you spin it.
I'm not going to touch it, but I would like to touch it in the future. That is very cool.
Yeah, it just spins around and then it gives you an answer.
It's like
tomorrow.
It's kind of like a fidget toy that's like vaguely threatening too. Like it's very like, that's like something the Godfather would have on his desk to play with. It's very good. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't have that much. There's not that much novel stuff for me to add. I mean, the other tips, again, I've said this other places, but I mean, it does really, you don't think this matters, but it does. Try to get the room as dark as you can. It really does make a difference because even though you're not aware of it, even when your eyes are closed, your light will pass through your eyelids, and light hitting your eyes tells your body it's time to be awake. So, and to that point, I would also say things like, you know, I do this with the hue switch where I have one, there's a Hue Labs thing where you can say, when you hit this button, give me the relevant lighting for the time of day. So if I hit the button number 2, when I wake up, it gives me a very blue, like morning time to wake up light.
Yeah.
And then at night, try to minimize the amount of blue light. I know this is not total science, but like it does make a difference to not expose yourself to a huge amount of blue light to make an orangish reddish light at night. I think that helps a lot. And then the basic part of sleep hygiene is to just understand that like it's a 0 and a 1, like I am going to bed now. It is time for sleep. Before I do that, I will prepare myself to have bedtime and I will not do things that make me not have bedtime, you know? And I don't know. I think it really can make a difference. what's the last thing? The last thing is, if you're going to try to change your sleep, in my experience, if it works for you to set an alarm and make yourself get up at an arbitrary new time, good for you. In my experience, it's the other way around. You have to change the time you go to bed in order to make a difference. And if you consistently go to bed at a particular time, you'll have much better results.
Last night we had an incident wherein I was, yesterday we have like a bunch of house guests coming this week. So I was like cleaning the whole house and like putting stuff away. And in the course of my cleaning, I like slightly moved our Roomba like 1 inch. I like moved the whole charging station and Roomba over. You know where this is going.
Yes.
And at about 5 a.m, the Roomba's downstairs in the kitchen, and we're a whole floor up behind like a closed door. But all of a sudden I hear, boop, 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 boop. Please charge Roomba. Please charge Roomba. And I was like, it woke me up, and I was like, oh my God, that's annoying. And then I just started to drift back off to sleep. And then it goes, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Please charge Roomba. Please charge Roomba. No. And I was like, well, it's probably just set to do that twice. And then I sort of lied there waiting for it, and a minute or two later, beep, boop, beep, boop, please charge Roomba, please charge Roomba.
And at this point, Max, that's white torture. You're getting white torture.
And at this point, Veronica's starting to wake up, and I had to get up. Put on pants and like walk downstairs in the kitchen and adjust the Roomba and move it over 1 centimeter so it was making contact with its precious little charging pad. Don't you think if you worked at the fucking Roomba Corporation that you would program this thing not to detonate at 5 a.m, that you'd say, hey, why don't we wait until there's daylight to start setting off a literal, like a klaxon.
I realized this as soon as I had a dumb fucking baby in my life. Here's something, world of industry. Nothing should ever make a noise when you turn it off. That's one thing. Nothing should ever make a noise when I turn it off. You know my other favorite? This is why I no longer pair my phone with my Echo devices. You're sitting there, you're having your sleep, and suddenly it goes, Bluetooth disconnected in the middle of the night. Thanks, buddy. I'll get right on that. Bluetooth disconnected.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop.
Do you ever fall asleep?
Here's the thing you don't need to do anything about at 2 a.m.
So now that I'm on the new iPhone, all my headphones are wireless, right? And mm-hmm, do you ever fall asleep wearing the wireless headphones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So not the Apple Pods, but if you other brands of wireless headphones, they sort
like
of...
Like over-the-ear headphones.
The over-the-ear ones, they sort of... helpfully announce to you when they're shutting themselves off or when they're
medium. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, just starting to drift off to sleep. Like I'm listening to Frasier, just desperately trying to shut my brain off and just so I can get
Please,
some
God,
sleep and
give me the sweet precious gift of sleep.
Finally,
let me escape this nightscape hellhole.
Yeah, and finally, just like you know. Experiencing that sweet release of death, and then all of a sudden, directly into my eardrums, iPhone connection lost.
It's tossed salads and scrambled eggs.